May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 997, 997. Lord, while I wander here below, what ills my soul annoy? For 'tis of thee I little know, and are still less enjoy. Hymn 997.
Reading this evening is from the Epistle to the Ephesians, And we'll read chapter 4 and down into chapter 5 as far as verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5. Again, this is for our instruction in the way that we should walk. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversation, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Leave the reading of God's holy word there. May he bless this passage to us and help us all to pray. Kind and ever gracious Almighty God, we come before thee again at a time appointed for prayer. Oh Lord, we ask that we might truly pray, to keep us from mere vain repetitions, an emptiness of comfortable words, familiar words. Lord, do give to each soul, even those that pray silently and one aloud. Lord, give that real earnest spirit, that real desire to bring our needs before thee. Oh Lord, we need to be instructed what those needs are. We may have many wishes, many desires, but they're not always for the right things. But Lord, thou hast promised, my God shall supply all your need. Oh, Lord, teach us then what to pray for. Teach us what it is that we really need. If we need reproof and correction, oh Lord, make us understand that. Make us realise what it is that is wrong, that we must forsake in our life. If we need encouragement, if we need stirring up because we have grown too comfortable, as it were, oh Lord, do send these things to us. We pray, Lord, that we might receive the things that we need in a right spirit. Lord, if we need those things that are uncomfortable to our flesh, keep us from rebelling against it. Keep us from turning away from it. Oh, Lord, give that right spirit to receive the word of God, whatever that requires of us, whatever thou dost require of us. Lord, we need to both not only know what thy will is, but we need help to do it, to put it into practice. Lord, it's clear often in thy word and through the things that thou dost show to us what thy will is, but we don't do it. We're not comfortable with it. We want some other path instead. Oh Lord, if any soul comes before thee this evening with such a spirit, oh, we pray, Lord, that thou remove all the excuses, remove all the stumbling blocks out of the way, remove the hindrances, Lord, that we all suffer from at times, but let us not be happy and just to make an excuse of those things. Lord, do remove them, we pray. Help us to walk, even as we've read, as a true disciple. Lord, as we read these things, we realise that we have to confess our sin in that we have so often come short of that. We've not walked in that way. We'd like to think that we are a disciple of God, but some of those things we don't put into practice. Lord, forgive our sins, our failings in that regard. But Lord, do strengthen us to continue. Oh, Lord, let us not be those that turn away, those that give up. Oh, Lord, do give us that grace to endure. Give us that faith to continue to take each step. Perhaps it is just one step at a time. Perhaps we can't see the end, as it were, exactly where we're going, but oh Lord, to follow in thy footsteps. Think of one, Lord, in thy word who sought to know where the shepherd was and was told to follow in the footsteps of the flock. Lord, grant that we might do that this evening, not just in thought, but if it requires changes in our lives, if it requires, as we spoke this morning, conversions from a particular attitude or spirit, Lord, do grant these things, that they should bear fruit in our lives. Lord, oh, do keep us, Lord, from just a theoretical religion, to know the truth but not practice it. Oh, Lord, we can so easily slide into that. Lord, we have so much to thank thee for our upbringing and the way that we have been taught, but Lord, we need to put it into practice. Lord, do come and help us this evening, speaker and hearers alike. Oh Lord, remove the fear of man that brings a snare. Oh Lord, we've read of it. Help us to speak the truth, Lord, and help each soul to receive the truth. Oh Lord, do keep us from speaking any error, keep us from, however inadvertently, but keep us from misleading any soul. Oh Lord, we need the direction of thy spirit to us each. We need to speak plainly, but Lord, we need thy help. We need help to speak, help to hear, help to sing, help to pray. Oh Lord, grant that help, withhold it not from us. Thou hast been our helper, Lord. We acknowledge that to thy glory and thy honour, But Lord, we have further needs, we have further requirements as we come before thee again. Oh Lord, spare not to pour out a blessing upon us. Oh, may we feel that we are in the presence of God. Lord, we're many, many more than that two or three that we read of this morning. Lord, we think that still applies, whether it's 20 or 30 or 200 or 300, where there is that agreement in thy name, there thou art in the midst. And Lord, we must therefore believe that thou art here in the midst. But what a solemn thing to be like Jacob and have to confess, surely the Lord is in this place, but I knew it not. Lord, we do pray, if any have come not knowing that thou art in this place, not realizing what it is to have come into the into the presence of the Almighty, Holy Lord God, oh, we pray that thou would open our eyes to see that, open our hearts, as it were, soften our hearts to realize that. Oh, Lord, may we know as we go on our way that we have been with Jesus, we have been in thy presence, we have received thy word in our hearts. Lord, only thou canst do it, only thou canst really apply that word with such power. Oh, Lord, even if the truth is spoken, it won't do any good without thy power. Lord, do come and work mightily. Oh, Lord, do hear the prayer offered by our friend in the vestry. Lord, do, Lord, do fulfill those things also. Let no soul go away unblessed. Let none go away without a spirit of rejoicing. Oh, Lord, that thou hast not been silent, but thou hast spoken. Oh, Lord, we pray that there shall be something for each one. Lord, we would not forget the children and the younger ones who have come up and those who have not come out, Lord, perhaps still in their own homes. And oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt still remember them where they are for good. Do, Lord, go before them. Oh, how the young especially need that guide to direct. Lord, we who are older perhaps have seen our way, as it were, in life, but we still need thee to guide us further. We need thee to guide us right to the end, whenever that shall be for us each. Lord, we pray that thou wilt go before us. We have that promise. Lord, thou knowest how precious it is, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Be fear not, neither be dismayed. Lord, we have to rely on that word as we venture once again in thy name. Lord, be with us. Lord, do be with each one in their different circumstances, their different pathway. Lord, there may be particular providential trials and difficulties, and perhaps those things might be known amongst family and friends, it may be. Lord, there may be those inner trials, those exercises of soul that no one knows, but Lord, they are known to thee. We pray, Lord, that where thy work has begun, where that exercise is truly one of the Holy Spirit working, Lord, do deepen it, do continue it. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, that thy word makes it so clear that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, thou art not one to commence and give up. We thank thee for that. Oh, Lord, how we see in thy word and the different characters where it was necessary to keep reminding them, keep prompting them. And Lord, we are no different. We don't walk as we should. We often fall behind. We sometimes rush ahead. Sometimes we turn off the route that we should be going. Oh, Lord, do not leave us. Go with us, we pray. Bring back any that are wandering. Oh, Lord, it may not be outward wandering. Oh, Lord, we're all in that sense, I'm sure, good, upright citizens, as it were. We're not outwardly wandering from the way of God, but, oh, Lord, in our soul we might be far off, thou knowest. Lord, do call back any soul that is wandering, any that is far off. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast said in thy word, even from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Oh, Lord, if any soul feels in their experience to be that far away, Lord, do make them know that thou dost still hear. Lord, we have our limitations of hearing. If we're too far away, we can't make out what someone is saying. But we thank thee, Lord, that however far away, thou dost hear each cry. Lord, we pray again for our nation, for our leaders, because thy word requires us to do that, to pray for all that are in authority over us, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. And Lord, we thank thee for our continuing mercies in that regard. Though we feel some encroachment upon our freedom of speech and expression, but Lord, we are still greatly spared and given these liberties. Oh, may we use them rightly and fearlessly, not deliberately provoking confrontation, but Lord, as the need requires, to stand fast upon thy word and the truth of thy word. Lord, we need much wisdom to know when things can be, as it were, accommodated or compromised, and where they cannot. Lord, let us never sacrifice anything that is according to thy word. Lord, do help us in this. Remember again, we pray, our king and the royal family and their needs, the sickness that some of them are experiencing. Lord, do grant healing, we pray. And Lord, do teach them. Teach them to fear thy name. Lord, that we should have truly a righteous sovereign upon the throne. Lord, and those in government, those whose decisions affect our lives. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt work mightily in them, that they might also be followers of God. Lord, that we should have those that would fearlessly declare their faith in thee. Lord, we do pray that we may yet see this happen. Thou art able. Lord, give us faith when we pray for these things, to believe that thou art able. We do not know thy will in this matter, but we know that it is possible. Lord, thou couldst fill the entire cabinet with those that fear thy name. Oh, Lord, we pray for that pouring out of thy blessing, that thou wilt turn us. We're on a path far from thee and going further and further away. Lord, do turn us again. Shine upon us and we shall be saved. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt look down upon us in thy mercy. Oh, Lord, thou seest us each individually, personally, exactly as we are. Lord, we've considered last night that experience of Isaac, to live by the well, Lahairoi, thou God seest me. Help us, Lord, to live in such a place, conscious that thou dost see us, therefore with a tender conscience towards sin, a desire not to offend thee, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and yet, Lord, also to see that thine eye is attentive to our need. Well, we thank thee, Lord, that we have those promises, that our Heavenly Father knoweth what things we have need of. Oh, Lord, come now, we beg thee. Lord, we have that need of forgiveness. We are all sinners. We have all trespassed against thy law. We have not been obedient to thy commands. Lord, none of us can say how it is that we say, Lord, Lord, and continue not to do the things that thou dost say. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, forgive. In that wrath that we deserve, remember mercy, we ask, for we ask it for Christ's sake. Lord, we've read how God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Oh, that we, Lord, might know. Maybe we need to be reminded. Maybe we have known it. Maybe we need to know it for the first time. But, Lord, that our sins, though they are many, are all forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, Lord, bless us with this, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1077. 1077. Dearest Lord, what must I do? Only thou the way canst show. Thou canst save me in this hour. I have neither will nor power. Hymn 1077.
dependence upon the Lord for his much needed help, let us consider what we find in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and the first verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We looked this morning at that requirement that Jesus spoke of, that except ye become as little children, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. We tried to see not only what is the what does conversion mean, that it is to be born again, but also at times to be converted from a wrong spirit. Even after we have been born again, we're not perfect creatures, are we? There are many things that we need to be converted from. We looked at what the kingdom of heaven is briefly, the preaching and the experience, the reception of the gospel, or indeed the rejection of the gospel, as it may be. And we looked at just a few, four, I think it was, characteristics of little children. Bearing in mind, little children are also sinners, they're not perfect, but what a little child ought to be. And really, it was then, as I was thinking about these things during the last week, it seemed to follow on. If we know anything about that, and appreciate some of you for good reason were not here this morning, but if we do know anything about that we spoke of and considered together this morning, what's the consequence? The Lord doesn't leave the work there, does he? We spoke a little bit about the need to grow in grace, to be weaned off the milk and onto the stronger meat. A child isn't healthy if it remains only with milk as its form of nutrition. It's needful, but there is a moving on. And this word seemed to follow. If we are dear children, if we are little children, in the way that we tried to set before you, and you may have had other thoughts about that in the intervals, much that we couldn't say, but if we are dear children, and remember really this means children dear to God, then there's a consequence. There's something that needs to happen, and that is to be a follower of God. It is to be a disciple. That's what the word means simply, isn't it? A disciple is a follower. A follower particularly of the teaching, of the spirit and the character of the master, the one that we would follow. It's to be as like him as we can be. Yes, we're always going to fall short, of course, of Christ's sinless perfection. But nevertheless, this is a command that we should be followers of God. And it is because we are dear children, but also that the way in which we follow is to be as dear children, in the manner of dear children. And especially, as we touched upon this morning, there is that need for obedience. A child doesn't pick and choose its own ways, as it were, does it? The parent tells it. The parent gives instruction and teaching. And oh, how we need that, don't we? We read of it, and it's not particularly in my thoughts to go through the passage that we read, but I commend it to you. There's so much there in the way in which we should walk, and especially it's a spirit of love, isn't it? Oh, the next verse says, and walk in love. It just comes to one's thoughts. John says, doesn't he, in his first epistle, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Could be the daughters. It's generic there. It's not just a masculine thing, is it? The daughters of God, the children of God. What love. What love. Do we love God and yet we won't follow him? Oh, it's so true, isn't it? Often, so much in my thoughts, what I think I quoted in prayer, and I'm sure I said this morning, that question the Lord asked, why? Why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not the things that I say. It doesn't say, know not the things that I say. It doesn't say you don't know the will of God, but it says you don't do it. Or is there any that dare, as it were, excuse themselves in the face of that question? It's this, isn't it? Be ye. Don't think about it. Don't consider it. Don't think what's the theory behind this, but be it. Act it out. I don't mean act in the sense of putting on a false persona or something like that, but put it into action. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, the way that I felt the Lord put this in my thoughts or opened up this word was to take the main events, as it were, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and see how it is that these dear children, these believers, one of these little ones that believeth in me, how they have got to follow in those events, as it were. Now, we shall not have an identical experience to the Lord, obviously, but we need to follow the places, if I can put it like that. Follow the places where the Lord went. Now, the first place, of course, where the Lord first appeared was Bethlehem. Oh, do you know what it is spiritually, as a dear child of God, to follow to Bethlehem? What's so important there? Well, it's to understand this, isn't it? Why did he come? All that followed in the life of Christ, I say it carefully, but it couldn't have happened, could it, if he hadn't first been born. He didn't come as a spirit, he came as a real person. He needed to be born. Yes, a miraculous conception, but then to be born. And I was thinking about those dear shepherds. Oh, they perhaps weren't expecting such a revelation as they received, were they? They were going about their business, looking after the sheep at night time. And then that chorus of angels appeared. Well, one angel spoke to them. And then, of course, there was the chorus of angels joining in praise. But this is what the angel said to them. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Well, can you follow to this place? Does the announcement of the birth of Christ, is that good tidings to you? Well, there couldn't be a gospel if it didn't begin there. If the gospel is good tidings, if the gospel is good news, it's got to begin here, hasn't it? With this lowly, humble, but glorious birth of Christ. And it's not just a general statement, is it? I do like the personal application there with the shepherds. Oh, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Can you follow here? I dare say we all given assent, a mental belief that Christ was born in Bethlehem. But was it for you? We're told in the scripture it's a saying worthy of all acceptation. I think that means that everybody ought to accept it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, they don't all, but it is a saying that's worthy of that acceptation. But we can't just leave it there. We're not saved by knowing that Christ came into the world to save sinners. What did he come for you? Was it unto you is born this Saviour, Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, unto you? Oh, don't stop short of that. We're not saved by that knowledge of the theory of salvation. It's the application, isn't it? And then, how those dear shepherds, no doubt poor, ignorant in the sense of probably not being able to read and write and so on, but what did that matter when they had such faith? Well, they had wonderful faith, didn't they? Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. I wonder how I would have responded, as it were, in their place. Would it not be, or at least the temptation would be, let us go to Bethlehem and see if this thing has come to pass? It's an amazing thing, a glorious, wonderful thing. Let's just check it out. Let's just see if it's really happened. But that's not their faith, is it? Or do you follow to Bethlehem with that same faith? It is come to excuse me. It is come to pass. But let's go and see it. Let us see the Saviour. Let us see the Lord, the Christ of God. And you see, this was the basis of their confidence, wasn't it? Which the Lord hath made known unto us. Oh, a child is trusting, aren't they? If their parent says something, they will believe it. I know, sadly, sometimes experience will eventually teach them otherwise, but you know what I mean. If a parent or a teacher or somebody in authority says it, the child believes it. Have you got this childlike faith? Do you follow here to Bethlehem with this childlike faith? The Lord has said it, therefore it has happened. And let us apply that faith also in this way. The Lord has said it is unto you. So why are you doubting it? Why are you saying, well, I can't follow there because I'm not sure, when the Lord has made it known to you? When the Lord has said, this has come to pass. We need to see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was nothing special, I don't think, at all to actually see in a physical sense, was there? No halo, no wonderful majesty. An ordinary, I use that word carefully, but I mean physically, an ordinary baby. Poor parents, condemned because there was no accommodation to being in the stable, lying the baby in a manger. But because the Lord had made it known to the shepherds that this was their Saviour. Oh, do we see it there? One of the hymns says, in that dear babe of Bethlehem I see my God, contracted to a span for me. And that's the important thing, isn't it? Not to see God contracted to a span, but my God, born, that's what, obviously that's the thought there, contracted to a span for me. Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Oh, Paul had that, didn't he? He says to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am one of those sinners. I feel the burden of my sin. I feel to be the chief of them. But he wasn't he wasn't denying that he was one of those sinners that Christ came into the world to save, was he? And that's what faith will lead us to, isn't it? Be ye followers to Bethlehem then. But then I want to move on to about 30 years later, or to follow the Lord to Jordan. Perhaps some of you don't want to follow there. I know what it is, friends, to make every excuse. You want a Jordan bypass, but there isn't one. Follow the Lord there. What did the Lord say as he came to John to be baptized in the River Jordan? Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Would you be a follower of God as a dear child and yet skip out that stage and say, well, that's not for me, I'll take the road around Jordan, I'll miss out that step? Jesus didn't, did he? Oh, in one sense, he had no need for the symbolism of baptism, did he? But he says that he would do that. He would set that example to fulfill all righteousness. He would show what these dear children must do. Not children in the sense of infant sprinkling, is it? But those dear little children, they might be decades old, but they come as he did, to be baptized. Oh, to show their death to all hope in anything else, their confession that Christ is their all, to rise in newness of life. The water has no special property, does it? The act of baptism is not an essential part of salvation, but you can't be a follower of God as a dear children and miss out that dear child and miss out that stage. This is the way Christ walked. If you'll follow in his footsteps, it'll take you to Jordan. Oh, the Peter says, doesn't he? And there is a great blessing in it, and I'm sure I'm not the only one here to have felt it. It's the answer of a good conscience. Oh, the trouble to our conscience when we know that we are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when we know what his will is. It's very clear, isn't it? I don't think anybody can seriously study the scriptures and not come to the conclusion that every believer should be baptized. But we want to be the exception, don't we? As I say, I know what that is, but the Lord will not have it to be so. If you are to follow as a dear child, you see, a dear child is obedient. When we're saying, not so, Lord, like Peter did, oh, he needed to be converted from that, didn't he? Again, three times Peter had that vision, three times he knew perfectly well what the will of God was. Don't mistake that. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, not so, Lord. It's not logical, is it? You can't say that. You can't say not so and Lord. It doesn't make sense. If he's the Lord, you've got to be obedient. If you're saying not so, if you're contradicting him, he's not your Lord. He's not, you're not accepting his authority. Oh, how many and in how many ways we say, "Not so, Lord. That's not for me." I spoke some years ago to a man a good deal older than I am, but I would like to think he is a child of God, but he's never been baptized. And I had the opportunity to speak to him once about and say how encouraging it was when somebody else had been baptized, hoping to nudge him, as it were. And he said, "Oh, yes, it's very nice when people take that extra step." And I thought, what a terrible way to think of baptism. But in one sense, it is the next step, but it's not optional. It's not up to each believer to decide whether they'll take that next step. Be ye a follower of God, a follower of Jesus Christ. He doesn't issue, in that sense, invitations that you can accept or reject. He issues a command. And the command given to us this evening is, be ye. Not be somebody else, but be ye, therefore, followers of God, as dear children, as obedient ones, as one who says, "This is, as it were, my Father talking. I will follow because he said that's the right thing to do. I won't stop and argue and I won't dispute it. I will be a follower. I will be a disciple." Oh, how we need the Lord to remove those stumbling blocks, don't we? There's that verse in Isaiah, I preached from it elsewhere a few months ago. Take up the stumbling blocks out of the way. All those stumbling blocks, you know what your stumbling blocks are, but take them up out of the way. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now there were many who followed the Lord in his ministry after he was baptized, weren't there? And they followed for all sorts of different reasons, didn't they? But one of them was his power of healing. We read, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. I love that. He healed them all. They were a mixed group of people, weren't they? They had all sorts of different illnesses, diseases, injuries, all things physical, mental, but of course especially those things set forth spiritual problems, don't they? Or the lame. How difficult it is to be a follower when we're lame, but Christ has healing for that. Christ has healing for that. You say, "Well, I can't really see which way to go." He's got healing for that, hasn't he? I think I spoke to the children here at the Sunday school, not sure if it was last year or the year before, but about Christ as a doctor. And you see, we need to go to a specialist, don't we? The same doctor isn't going to cure you of your lameness and cure your eyesight and cure your deafness. You need a different man because men are limited. But Christ healed them all. So let me put it to you in this way. Whatever your hindrance is, why you can't make more progress in the way of following him, why you're not a better disciple, Christ has got healing for that. Whatever the excuse, and we do make excuses. You can say, "Well, it's a reason," but it can easily become an excuse. Whatever the excuse is, it's not good enough because he healed them all. You say, "Well, I can't walk, I can't take that next step." Well, Christ can make it so, can't he? You say, "Well, I'm not really sure that it is the Lord." We read, didn't we, is it the beginning of chapter 4, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And perhaps one's saying, "Well, I'm not really sure if I have been called." Well, he can unstop your ears and make it clear to you, can't he? Well, they followed him because they wanted to be healed. This is something I think we often overlook, don't we? We think it's almost just that the Lord randomly encountered people and healed them, but not so. Many of them were seeking that healing. They were not content to be lame or blind or deaf or troubled in their mind or whatever it was. And sometimes it was their friends or their parents or somebody else that brought them, as it were, to Christ. Oh, what a encouragement there is for all of us to, in prayer, bring some other soul to Christ, some soul that's struggling, and some soul that's not being a diligent follower. We can't maybe remove the stumbling blocks ourselves, but we can pray, can't we? We can pray for them. Lord, give them that healing that they need. Bring them to Christ in prayer. He healed them all. He didn't turn one away. Isn't that wonderful? Not only was there no condition that Christ wasn't able to heal, but there wasn't a single case that came to him that he wasn't willing to heal. That's such a precious word, isn't it? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is that your fear? Your fear that he will cast you out, you're not worthy to come? Well, I can't truthfully stand here and say, well, don't worry, you are worthy. Because that would not be true, would it? Oh, but we go back to that centurion who wasn't worthy. He didn't feel worthy. The Jews said he was worthy, for whom Christ ought to do this. There was an obligation upon Christ to heal that centurion's servant because of his good deeds. Well, the centurion himself didn't subscribe to that view, did he? His friends brought a much truer message, and in his own words, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But if you compare Matthew and Luke's account of that, you'll see he did come. He couldn't even rely just on his friends to take the message. He himself came and he made the same confession of unworthiness, but he couldn't stay away, could he? Who else could he give healing? Who else could dispense the blessing that he was seeking after? We said this morning, if you have that desire to enter into the kingdom of heaven, it's through this way, isn't it? It's being a little child. It's being a dear child. But it's being a follower of God. He healed them all. Now, of course, that greatest healing that we all need is not physical or mental, is it? But it's spiritual. Oh, we've all got that disease of sin, haven't we? So often in the Scriptures compared to leprosy, isn't it? Oh, it's a progressive thing. It gets worse and worse if it's not treated, and only Christ can treat it, just as in the gospel accounts, there was no cure for leprosy other than the power of God. Oh, but that healing for the soul, it is through the sacrifice at Calvary, isn't it? Have you got to follow the Lord to Calvary? Or to see him there by faith? Yes, we'll never see that with our natural eyes, will we? But by faith, to follow him there. There were all sorts of people that in a physical sense followed there. We read all the people that came together to that site, that is the site of Christ on the cross, beholding the things that which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. They didn't just look at it briefly and go back to their houses wondering about it. They stood at the cross. They beheld him. Not always afar off, perhaps. Again, that may be someone's experience. You feel, well, I do want to behold the Lord there suffering in my place, because that's what it needs, isn't it, to know it was for me. But I'm so far off. Well, they didn't always remain afar off, did they? Oh, the Lord drew them near at times, but to come there, Jesus in the sinner's place, but not just the sinner, but can we say this sinner, Jesus in this sinner's place? I often think, those that were at the young people's meeting, forgive the repetition, but think of Isaac on Mount Moriah. That ram that God provided in the end, I say that carefully, it was God's timing, but you know what I mean. The ram that was provided in the end was a wonderful deliverance for Abraham, because he didn't in the end have to kill his son. I know he had wonderful faith to believe that Isaac would rise from the dead, but it must have been a wonderful relief to him, a wonderful blessing that he didn't have to go through with it. But think of it from Isaac's point of view. Abraham was not going to die, was he, whatever happened there? But Isaac was. Isaac was only, I think it'd be right to say, seconds away from death when the ram was revealed. What a wonderful thing for Isaac. Isaac saw that ram in my place, didn't he? As Abraham, no doubt, then used the knife to cut through the bonds and release Isaac, and perhaps together they then put the ram in place on the altar. Isaac could see, that's for me. That's where I was. And now the ram has taken my place. Well, as we follow the Lord to Calvary, it's no longer a ram, is it? It's the Lamb of God in the sinner's place, in my place. Oh, a dear child will weep with love at that, I think. Oh, to see the Lord suffering there. We don't rejoice in his sufferings as such, but we rejoice to see our deliverance in that. That's salvation, isn't it? The wrath of God against my sin being poured out upon Christ. Oh, that we can't get far away from Isaiah 53, can we? Surely, oh, does faith, does your faith embrace that word? Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our sin. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, none of those personal pronouns are strictly speaking required there, are they? It would make perfect sense. It would still be the truth if it read, surely he hath borne griefs and carried sorrows. He was wounded for transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. The Lord hath laid on him iniquity. That would all be perfectly true. But where would it leave you? Oh, as a dear child who would follow the Lord, you need those personal pronouns, don't you? Our sin, my iniquity, my transgressions laid upon Christ, suffering in the sinner's place. Oh, to behold it, to behold something is not a casual glance and move on to the next distraction, is it? To behold is to consider. Behold is really very similar to that word in the psalm, Selah. It means pause. Stop. This is something worth considering. Don't just move on to the next thing. Stop and think about this. Behold it. Oh, they beheld those things. What was going through their minds? We don't know, do we? But one says, sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend. I think that was true of these followers of Jesus. They'd followed him through many things, many different experiences, and they'd come now to this point, hadn't they? And it was sweet to them. Oh, is that a sweet contemplation to you? Do you follow him there in love? But he didn't stay there, did he? Oh, the disciples, they had to follow the risen Christ. They didn't understand those things to begin with. They were confused, weren't they? But gradually, the Lord gave them more and more understanding. And as they came to the sepulchre, is this true? They were here as disciples, weren't they? This was specifically the women, but doesn't matter. They were still disciples. But you see, the angel says, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, is that true? You seek Jesus of Nazareth. Are you following him here because you're seeking him? You want to know more of him? You want to know him better? Not just, again, it's don't get me wrong, teaching and is very important, but it's not just that theoretical knowledge, is it? You want to know him as a person. You want that personal acquaintance with him. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. But he is risen. Oh, he's not still there in the sepulchre. All that sets before us, isn't it? We read he died for our transgression and rose again for our justification. Justification is about being free from sin. We should not be free from sin if Christ had been overcome by that death. But you can see the importance of it in the 1st of Corinthians chapter 15. What a lovely passage that is, but it needs us to stop and think about it, doesn't it? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. It's not just me that is saying foolish things if Christ isn't risen. You're believing foolish things if Christ isn't risen. We have found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Oh, Selah. Pause and consider that. A belief in the resurrection of Christ is essential, because if you don't believe that, your faith is vain and you're yet in your sins, and there's no other way of salvation, so you'll die in your sins. The word of God is so clear, isn't it? But now is Christ risen from the dead, and they were to follow the risen Saviour, weren't they? Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. It's a bit of a mystery, perhaps, isn't it? Why did Jesus go into Galilee? Why did he not stay in Jerusalem? Why did they have to follow him? Because it was a journey of faith, wasn't it? Would have been much easier for them if the Lord had just stayed in Jerusalem and there was no journey involved, there was no following involved. But no, they were to go back. And I think it also sets before us this, doesn't it? Galilee is where it all began for them. There's a good looking back over the way that God has given us, led us rather, however many years it is in this wilderness. It's a good thing to look back, to give the glory to God. There's a wrong looking back. If we look back with a spirit that wants to go back, like the Israelites, they had that hankering after the garlic and the cucumbers of Egypt. Life was so much easier in Egypt. Well, it wasn't, was it? Their cry came up to God because of the oppression, but the grass always seems greener, doesn't it? We don't want to go back, but we do want to review the way that God has led us. Follow him back to Galilee. Where did it all begin for you? What was the starting point for you? How did the Lord first show himself to you? Well, that's where most of the disciples were called, isn't it? Oh, they had to go back. They had to retrace that. But they were still following him because he was taking them back. He was leading them back. There shall ye see him. Isn't that wonderful? There ye shall see him. Follow him. Follow the risen Lord as dear children. Oh, they had to trust that that's where he was. He'd said, through the angel, he'd said, that's where I'll be. They didn't dispute it, did they? They went there. They followed him. They went in his same footsteps, as it were, back to Galilee. And they did see him, didn't they? Oh, no false promise with God, is there? And then, even after that, we read that he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Have you followed him out, as it were, as far as to Bethany? Yes, he had to be parted from them. He had to ascend back into heaven. Oh, but is he there as our mediator, our intercessor? Do you follow him in that sense? Speaking on your behalf, pleading your cause. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that Christ is ascended back into heaven. Oh, and as Paul writes to the Hebrews, we there as the intercessor, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And what's the consequence of that? Let us therefore, because of that, because we have a high priest, an intercessor, a mediator in heaven above, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Oh, this isn't self-confidence, this isn't conceit in ourselves that we're worthy, is it? It's the boldness of faith. It's the faith that says, well, the scripture has told me that, therefore I'll believe it, therefore I'll come there, I'll follow to here, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, we shall ever have a time of need, won't we, while we're still here on this earth. And it would be a sad thing if we ever get into a place like the Laodicean church, isn't it, that felt I'm increased, I can't remember the exact words, but I'm in need of nothing. That's what they felt, didn't they? And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Oh, what a solemn place it is to not realize how needy we are, and knowest not that thou art. So Their opinion of themselves made no difference to the fact, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh, but the Lord even there didn't turn them away, did he? He said, I counsel thee to buy of me. Come to me. Come boldly to me. Though you've much to repent of, though you've much that you need to be converted away from, but don't give up. Come boldly. Oh, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, it may be that one might feel or be tempted to feel, there's so much that this cross, as it were, if I'm to take up the cross and to follow him, and remember the Lord said that everyone that follows him must take up the cross. And interestingly, he said that a long time before he was crucified. Perhaps we think he was talking there about the cross of crucifixion, as it were, but it was a long time before he experienced that he said to the disciples they must take up their cross, their burden, the discomforts of the way. But he said, you cannot. Oh, it's so solemn, isn't it? I haven't looked that up to read the exact words, but you read in several places there, if this man, and it means, of course, this woman, this person, if they will not take up the cross, ye cannot be my disciple. It doesn't say you won't make a very good disciple. You can be a half-hearted disciple. You can do your best, but not go the full way, as it were. No, ye cannot be my disciple. Oh, there's a burden, isn't there? There's a cost to being a disciple. It might be the pride of your heart. It might be something that you have to give up, some hobby, some interest, some dedication to something in this life. But especially there are spiritual things, aren't there? Or the pride of heart that we have to give up. We saw this morning, didn't we, the need for humility. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. But I want to just come to this. You see, Peter was able to say this, and as we all stand before God this evening, can we follow Peter, as it were, in saying this? Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. What a statement that is, isn't it? We have left all and have followed thee. Can you say that? Or are you still carrying along a lot of baggage with you? Still got a divided heart rather than a whole heart seeking after the Lord. But what does Jesus say? There's something very precious. It's always been precious to me since being sent out to preach. I hadn't really considered it, I think, before that. But Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you. We saw this morning, didn't we, the importance. Jesus is saying this, not me, not even Paul or Peter, but Jesus says unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. The path of a disciple is to leave all behind, but God in his mercy gives many things to replace them. And we don't have a lot of time. I commend that list to you in Mark chapter 10, really verses 28 to 30. You see, there are eight things that Jesus says have got to be left behind. And there are eight things that replace them. Now, six of those things are identical. We may have to leave house, as it were, but in the gospel, how many houses are then open to us? Friends, brothers and sisters in the gospel. I often think that as we go to somebody's house on a Sunday that maybe we haven't been to before, here's another place. I've left my house, but I'm not without a house. I'm still welcome, as it were. I've still got a place to be. And brethren and sisters, brothers and sisters in Christ, we may have to leave direct relations, as it were, and mothers in Israel, and children. Oh, what a wonderful gift it is to have spiritual children and lands. So all those are replaced. But there are two things that are not replaced. Fathers and fathers and wives. Well, a wife is perhaps obvious. It's clear in the scripture, isn't it? A man should only have one wife, at least one wife at a time, that is. So it doesn't say you'll have 100 wives, but the father is perhaps more difficult to understand. If we can have, as it were, 100 mothers, why can we not have 100 fathers? Well, I think it's very simple. Always does concern me. I don't mean to pick fault, but we need to come back to what the Bible says. It concerns me if people say, oh, so-and-so, he was my spiritual father. Well, Jesus said, I'm not saying it, Jesus said, thou shalt call no man father. One is your father, even God in heaven. So we don't get 100 fathers. We've got one father. We've had a physical father. We have one spiritual father, God in heaven. So those things are not replaced. But two things are given which we didn't forsake. One is persecutions. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? The pathway of the follower, the pathway of the believer is going to involve persecutions. Oh, the scripture never says otherwise, does it? But then think of this, we didn't leave behind eternal life, did we? But it is the prospect, it is the blessing of God upon the true disciple, the follower, the dear children in the world to come. Eternal life, what a prospect. What a haven, as it were, before us at the end of this journey of discipleship, the end of this following of the Lord. Because there in heaven above, there'll be no more following, because that's the end point, that's the destination. Christ isn't going to leave heaven. These dear children that believe in him, they're not going to leave heaven. But in this life, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. May God help us each to put that into practice. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Matthew Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Peter Wilkins, and he will, God willing, address the Sunday school in the afternoon. And the collections today are for the Christian Institute. Our closing hymn is part of hymn number 448. 448. And we'll conclude at verse 3. And when you read verse 4, may it create a desire in your heart to be among those who thus remember the Lord and what he has done for us. Hymn 448, concluding at verse 3. When Jesus undertook to rescue ruined men, the realms of bliss forsook, and to relieve us ran. He spared no pains, declined no load, resolved to buy us with his blood. Hymn 448, down to verse 3.
That thou wilt own and bless and apply all that has been rightly spoken in thy name, anything that has been amiss in us. And Lord, we are but creatures of the dust. Lord, do forgive. We pray that if there's been anything misleading, that it may not be a stumbling block, that that part might be forgotten. But Lord, what has been of thee, do fix it in the souls of the hearers. Oh Lord, the souls maybe of those that have heard from other places, remote listeners, but oh Lord, do make us each a listener to the word of God, and one that puts it into practice, to be a follower, not to know the theory of following, but to be a follower of God as a dear child. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.